Hello everyone, welcome back to Love All the Tennis Talk Show. I'm here to serve you the set of stories from the tennis world that you need to know. And if I never explained this before, I'm saying set of stories because it's six, and there's you know, obviously like six games to a set, or first to six gets a set. So that's where that comes from. There's a method to the madness. Okay, so there wasn't that much news or juicy current events or stories this past week, but I picked some diamonds out of the rough. So first story, everyone knows Roger Federer is out for the next few months with a knee surgery, or like arthroscopic, which I think means they just go in with like a scope of some sort and try to be as minimally invasive as possible, which is good. Okay, I tried to look for a story that didn't just explain his surgery, but what will happen to his ranking and everything else. So the sad news for Federer fans, and indeed tennis fans in general, means he will miss out on multiple events of the ATP tour. Unfortunately, he will miss the entire clay court season, including the French Open. But didn't he only play the French Open? Like, that was like literally the only clay thing he did anyway. So in his statement, Roger said that he was struggling with his right knee for a while. After consulting with his team and some doctors, he opted to have arthroscopic surgery to rectify the issue. So he just announced it after he already had it. As a result, I will unfortunately have to miss Dubai, Indian Wells, Bogota, Miami, and the French Open. I can't wait to be back playing again soon. See you on grass. I mean, my personal thoughts that no one asked for is that he doesn't really care about his ranking. He really doesn't care about anything other than winning a few more Grand Slams. Wimbledon for sure. And like, yeah, maybe a few more and then retiring. So I think that he's going to come back, literally start playing on grass as soon as he comes back and starts playing, because he wants to win Wimbledon. And he's 38. Wimbledon is his favorite, I think. I think it's a lot of people's favorite. Even though I love Djokovic, you know, I would let him win Wimbledon. But nonetheless, how will the setback affect Roger Federer and his ATP ranking? This article goes on to say him missing out on the tennis season is a rare sight. So this article kind of surmises, well, I guess they do the math, and they say when he comes back to the grass season, taking into consideration the top 10 standings currently, his rank will fall somewhere between the 7th and 9th position. A sharp drop, but not enough to fall out of the top 10. Yeah, I really think that he does not really care that much. Like, I don't think he, realistically, I don't know if he could be number one in the world again. I don't know. I really don't think he wants to retire. And if he's having the surgery now, even if he wins Wimbledon, I don't know if he'll retire. Maybe he'll win Wimbledon, hopefully, and then finish out the year, maybe to the next Wimbledon. He's at that age where it's like, you're 38. I mean, if he can do it, power to him, but I don't know. I mean, I don't want him to stop playing. It's going to be weird even that he's not playing these next few months. If any of the big three stop, it's literally going to like shake up the entire tennis world. So, I mean, get better. I mean, he might get better and feel so much better, and he might just like jump right back in. You never know. But we'll see him at, I guess, a few grass tournaments before Wimbledon. Get well soon, Raj. Okay, the second story was about, it just caught my eye because I like totally agree. I didn't actually know who this player was, and I might be saying his name wrong. 20-year-old rising French tennis player Corentin Moutet, okay, we'll work on that, says he is not using the Twitter social media platform anymore as he finds that there is too much negativity on the platform, according to Yahoo Sports. The world number 77 says, "I'm not complaining, I'm just realizing that people are not kind to each other. Whether it be towards tennis players, artists, politicians, there is a lot of nastiness, insults, criticisms, very harsh words that you never hear in real life. It is therefore of no interest to me, and I prefer to withdraw from this network." Oh my gosh, he really goes on. He's like, "I went on this network to share my daily life, even if it does not interest many people, and especially to discover other things. We receive threats every week. After 2 or 3 years, I realized that I find almost nothing positive there. There are a lot of irrelevant chat, and everyone gives their opinion on everything without being qualified or without knowing the subject. So I'm leaving this network because there's too much free nastiness." I agree 1,000%. I have never had a Twitter, personal or even for the love all. I mean, maybe I do it for that because it's not I don't know, but I'm like afraid because people are like so vicious and like cruel. So they would see like one clip of this and like rip me to shreds. So I just never really subjected myself to that. And I totally see where he's coming from. I listened to this other podcast and the hosts of that always say that they hate Twitter. And they're like, people come out from like the depths of hell to write something on Twitter. For some reason, like on Instagram, I think people can still be mean, but it's not as like vicious. It is so crazy the things that people just go out and say on Twitter. And yeah, he's right. Like everyone just gives their opinion. Like no one asked. I mean, is anyone asking me to get my opinion for this? No, but just like, really, we need to go back to the basics. Like, if you have nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all. It's different if you're playing a little joke, like I don't know, but then when you actually are threatening people, that is different. I don't know, I'm not a Twitter fan per se. If it's just giving you negativity, cut it out. And if you don't have to see it, out of sight, out of mind, really good for you. Third story is kind of a follow-up of a story that I never actually reported on, kind of slipped through the cracks, of the WTA allowing coaches to coach from the stands. So Tour has begun its trial of coaching from the stands at the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championships this week. And while some coaches have welcomed the move, others have not been in favor of the same. Thomas Jouet, the coach of Chinese tennis player, I do not know how to say her first name, so I'm just gonna say her last name, Wang, who defeated Serena Williams at the Australian Open last month, says he believes coaching before the stands is good for the coaching from the stands. Don't know where before came from. Coaching from the stands is good for the game. We are much more liberated. We are no longer an outlaw, and we no longer play hide and seek with a referee. Play hide and seek? So you were illegally coaching. Okay. I mean, I think they all were. All sports have their coach. In football, the coach talks to the players who are running behind the ball. In cycling, they have earpieces. It's exactly the same principle. However, Bertrand Paré, all these French names, the French coach of Taiwan Suwei Hsie, I'm sorry about my pronunciation, is not in favor of the idea, saying, I don't like that the players are now considered as robots to tell them do this or that. I think that they should be left to play a little, let them express themselves. What makes a champion is the ability to make the right decision at the right time. I honestly agree with that, and I am more for on the side of no coaching, I think, because everyone is good at tennis. That's a professional tennis player. Everyone can hit like all the strokes like very well. So it's really a lot of mental, where you can be sitting there and like someone who's more mentally strong is going to win because they can think more clearly in their head, gather their emotions, and make a play that they like come up with. It's like you have to practice mentally as much as you have to physically practice, I think. That's like a huge thing that tennis players have to work on. And so if you just have someone, like you look over and they're like, hey, like signals, it's like, oh, okay. They're going to depend on them so much, I feel like. And then when they're not there, it's going to be, I don't know. And then what happens when the coach says something and you don't really think that you should do that, or you don't feel comfortable doing that? What are you going to say? No. They're like right there. They're going to yell at you when you get done. It's opening up a can of worms, a recipe for disaster. Also, what this Pauline Parmentier said, she's happy about the trial, but adds that the coaches should not go over the top. I hope that the coaches will stay in their place and that it will not overflow. It must remain framed and the coaches must not start to get up and talk loud. That's the only thing that scares me a little. I mean, yes. If like they're gonna have to have their own language of like signs, not sign language, but like another, is there different sign languages for different languages? Anyway, whatever language in which they speak, and I guess it might not even matter, they're going to have to do signals because you're not gonna scream from the stands. The only thing is, they said that everyone's doing it anyway. We know about Serena and her coach. Last year at the at the US Open, 2 years ago, that was wild. Another thing that can happen is they're going to put the cameras on the coaches, and then they're going to realize what they're saying and their signs, and it's not going to be a secret anymore, people. So I don't know. This is just, I am excited to see how it plays out, but it's definitely going to be interesting. And I don't think that, I read something else that said the ATP is like not interested. They're very like much more traditional. But you never know. Okay, this next story was crazy. I hate tennis with all my heart. Kazakh star Alexander Bublik reveals he only plays for the money. Kazakh tennis ace Alexander Bublik has made a shocking confession during the Open 13 tournament in France, revealing that he hates the sport. Speaking to French newspaper L'Equipe, the 22-year-old says he only plays tennis for financial reasons, admitting that he would retire if he earned enough prize money. Quote, "To be honest, I don't see something positive in being a tennis player. I only play for money. If there was no money, I would stop playing tennis instantly. I haven't earned enough money, otherwise I would have already retired. I have 7 tattoos and each has a particular meaning in my life. The one I have associated tennis is a skeleton that has a tennis ball in its hand. It jogs my memory that I should endure this sport every single day." Okay. I mean, to be completely honest, I see two sides to this. One, I'm like, how could he even say that? Like, get your negativity and get that out. No one wants you here. And then the other side, I'm like, do I like my job or do I literally just do it for money? So I get it. And if I had enough money, I would not do my job. It is his job and work is work. Like, for me, tennis is my like escape, like a fun hobby that I do. And for them, it's their job. For me, it's all fun and games. For them, it's like games, maybe not so much fun. Also, if he was smart, he wanted to become really popular, aside from like a popular tennis player, and then get some endorsement deals and stuff on the side so then he can make more money and then stop playing tennis. But no one's gonna want you on their racket or on the shoes if you literally are negative and everyone just associates you with being greedy and only being in it for the money. So they're not that smart. And also, like, he has this thing, like, you need to look him up, where he has like a chin situation. Not a chin situation, like a beard situation that is just like confusing in every way, shape, and form. And it's like only here and it's kind of long, but then it's not up here. It's like, it has annoyed me since I saw him at the US Open this past year. I'm like, shave it off or grow it out. There is no in between. Like, I mean, that's just, you know, something that has nothing to do with anything, but that I thought needed to be mentioned. Okay, fifth story is all about Valentine's Day, and I just had to pick this story because of the savage title that of it. Naomi Osaka and boyfriend YBN Cordae celebrate Valentine's Day with weird video on Instagram. It literally says weird video. This is how Naomi and YBN celebrated their Valentine's Day. It's literally just a video that she posted on her Instagram of them on an escalator and she's like selfieing and he comes up and like puts his head in her shoulder and it's like cute. And then her caption is, "Happy Valentine's Day or whatever." Like, no. I have to say happy Valentine's Day or whatever because it's just another day to me because I have no Valentine. You have a Valentine, so you can actually say happy Valentine's Day. I'm so lucky to have a Valentine and someone in my life that I love. So her like nonchalantness needs to stop. I don't know. She's also getting a Netflix documentary, which could have been another story. So I guess I'll just mix it in with this one. So I don't really know what they're really going to say. It's more like with like fashion and everything, but she's kind of like, she's an open book and then she's not. Like, she's soft spoken, but then she just says whatever the hell she wants. And it's like, which one are you? And who is YBN Cordae? I tried to look this up. Like, what is YBN? I think it, oh, okay. The initials YBN stands for Young Boss and some word I'm not gonna say, which is a global group of promoters, social media personalities, record producers, and rappers. Okay, interesting. And then it also says that they met last year at an LA Clippers game. It's like, I just need to know how that works. You are both at a Clippers game, like a basketball game. Do you like spot each other from the room? Is there eye contact, a flirtation? Or like, when you're that famous, you can just like be like, who's that? And your manager will like set it up for you. Like, imagine. Like, did she DM him? And then they started a conversation. Like, how does one start dating after not knowing each other and meeting at a basketball game? How does that really evolve? If it's that easy, I'll just go to basketball games. I mean, they seem happy together. Good for them. Yeah. The Valentine's Day posts were like, aplenty with the tennis people. I was like, I could barely go on my regular Instagram because everyone being couples. And then I'm trying to go on the Love All Instagram. And you know me, I posted Love Means Nothing to a Tennis Player, like AKA me. then I see the couples there too. Zverev, Alexander Zverev, or Sasha, they don't get that whole nickname situation, and his girlfriend, they're posting each other all the time. Like, what is it about this girl? He had another girlfriend a few years ago, Olga, I think, or something, and like, he didn't post about her nearly as much. I'm like, what is it, the PDA? She's forcing him, I bet. She probably did it, because that's what like every girlfriends do for their boyfriends. They literally get their phones and they're like, you're posting this, capture it, and they do it for them. That makes sense. And I think this girl's like a social media, she's like a model, obviously. So they are like social media influencers. And so, yeah, it probably is just her. And Olga, his ex-girlfriend, probably respected the fact that they wanted to keep their relationship private and did not force him to Instagram so much. But then it also makes it confusing, because people that don't post, you don't know their actual relationship status, like Denis Shapovalov and his, oh my gosh, his girlfriend was like Miriam, I think, but had a J, a Swedish tennis player. And they were like, since Paris the last year, dating, I guess. And I don't think that I saw, hold on, I don't think that I saw an Instagram from him for Valentine's. And I was just like, you know, keeping my eyes and ears open, because there's just something about him. His one and only was in November. Oh no, his last post, she commented fire heart. They're together. But like, you know, I appreciate that. You don't need to rub it in my face, you Valentine. Happy for them. I guess that answers that question. Maybe he made a story and I missed it. But yeah, he just has like some swag about him. Like, I don't know. Even though he's a few years younger than me, I'm like, Denis Shapovalov can like get it. Which really brings me into my next story about my actual boyfriend, Vasek Pospisil, who I've never met. Vasek Pospisil returned to form after back surgery. I reported on him a few episodes ago, which is because like he is bae. The 2014 Wimbledon doubles champion and former number 25 in singles, Vasek Pospisil was forced to undergo back surgery in January last year. It was determined by the doctors that this was the best method to repair his herniated disc. The operation was successful, and it turns out he came back stronger than expected, maybe stronger than ever. Yes! It wasn't until October when Pospisil's comeback really kicked off. The Canadian had to qualify for the Shanghai Masters and stormed through Adrian Mannarino, Marcel Granollers, Diego Schwartzman, and Joao Souza without losing a single set. He has been straight up climbing the ranks, winning these tournaments. He is really taking the tour by storm. And I just have to say that me and my friends that met him 5 years ago never forgot him. Even when he was out for like really not in the forefront of tennis for like the past few years, we would always be liking his Instagrams, always be sending each other posts about him, and always be like, miss you bae, love him. We just were/still are obsessed. And now it's like so exciting when he's back doing his thing, and we're like, all these new fans, GTFO, we have been stans from the beginning. And that's just that. And the maple syrup thing, which really took the world by storm, the internet by storm, of him like drinking maple syrup during his changeover, because he said, I guess he forgot power chews, or like, you know, they have those electrolyte things, boosters. That was just so smart of him. He is so intelligent. What an intellect. He's really bringing it full circle with his Canadian roots. For that, he's just the whole package. He didn't post anything about anyone on Valentine's Day, and like, weirdly enough, neither did I. Should we date? Okay, that is it for my set of stories for this week. Sorry it was kind of quick, but I had to just bang it out. I have then for my ins. In is just Canadians. Chapo, Felix, oh my gosh, Auger, Aliassim, I think his last name is, and Pospisil and Raonic. The Canadians are like sweeping out the other nations, I think, the men's at least. And so I'm just like, good for them. Do I need to go to Canada? I think I should. It was always weird, like growing up, you always thought that Canada was just like, I mean, in America for me, it was like Canada is like just the same as America. But they're not. Like, Justin Bieber's from Canada. It's like, okay, like, I honestly think of him as being American. There's a whole, you know, the movie The Proposal, where Sandra Bullock is like, her character is gonna be deported or something because she needs to get married. And so she like makes her assistant marry her, and they like try to, whatever. That's the whole movie. so good you should see it. And she's like, deported? I'm from Canada. Like, it literally, it's like the same thing, low-key, but then it's really not. So it's very, I mean, like, it is, but it isn't. I mean, it is not. And so I was like, there's no need for me to visit this place. It's just like any other place. But, you know, I've really heard good things, and, you know, and I really should get to know the culture of my better half one day. So then my outs. Okay. I have not reported on this yet because I really didn't want it to be true, but I think it's safe to say that Dominic Thiem and Christina Mladenovic Kiki have broken up, and this is just devastating. They were like the most underrated like power couple, I think, in tennis. They were so not annoying on Instagram, Zverev and your model girlfriend. They were just so supportive of each other. It was just like a little Instagram story, like, yes, bae, or a post. And it wasn't them like dressed to the nines at an event, like, or trying to be like a model. It was literally them just like at to dinner, being like, at to dinner with my love, like, love that. And then they just didn't say anything, not that they should have to, and quietly disappeared into the night. And we have not seen an Instagram post or story about either of them. It's just sad. Like, on the one hand, it's so annoying when people post an entire paragraph on Instagram that they broke up. Like, we are taking different steps in life and we have decided to. It's like, I don't need a press conference on your breakup. Like, no, thank you. But then I'm also like nosy and I need to know everything. But then it's just nice when they just kind of under the radar kind of break up. Do I want you to be together? Yes. Do I think anyone else could? I mean, would I love Thiem to be my boyfriend? Sure. If he asked, who am I to say no? But I just think that they were very good and supportive. And like, I really wonder what happened. I kind of reported on this on my Instagram, and a fan / listener was commenting and gave me the inside scoop. And she's like, she blocked everyone in his family on Instagram and all this. So I'm like, I don't know if he did the breaking up or she did. But again, I'm okay. I don't need to know. And I respect your privacy. But also, if anyone else knows, DM me on Instagram. I'm nosy. And that's all there is for today. Sorry, it was a little shorter than usual. Oh, also, if you're listening, nothing to see here. But if you're watching, you might have noticed new studio. And by studio, I mean I just moved from my house into an apartment with my friend. So this is the sitch now. I will probably go back home because I don't live that far away once in a while and record an episode because, you know, we love to have the mother come in and delve into her thoughts. So it's, yeah. Also, if you are enjoying this, please rate it, subscribe if you watch on YouTube, and rate it on the podcast app. If you're not liking this, don't rate it. But if you have some constructive criticism, you can just give it like a 5-star rating, but then do the constructive criticism with... you can do a positive, then a constructive criticism, and then a positive to end it out. It's a positive sandwich. That way I won't cry. Okay. Thanks again, everyone, for tuning in, and see you next time.